Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. This show is for socially conscious leaders, entrepreneurs, CEO founders that have found success, but they don't have the ideal life that they would like. And what we're going to do is bring in concepts and systems so that we can increase business with millions of additional revenue while lowering our work hours, ideally below 40 hours a week. We call this More Business, More Life. And it's an and, not an or. We don't have to have either or. We can actually systemize this to have both. And those are the concepts we're going to come with each episode. Sometimes we might talk a little bit more about business, sometimes more life, most of the time, both. So welcome to the show. Welcome to the More Business, More Life podcast. And today we're going to talk about growth and how we believe all of life is learning, from the small things to the big things, from our perception to the actual things happening in front of us. How can we take this as a tool and move past the good, bad, and ugly and actually transcend this into our life learning so that we can actually maybe not be as angry, maybe not go through as much pain, and maybe have more of the life we want faster by making a choice to learn. And even I believe we're learning whether we're aware of it or not. Let's come to it. This episode is about being aware of our learning so that we can learn at a quicker rate, enjoy our life at a quicker rate. So let's jump in. We'll talk about it right now. We're here with all of our co-hosts, myself, Steve Napolitan, Giovanni Godina, Stephanie Vetter, Melissa Barrett. I'm going to always try to do that in different order. It just puffs out in a different way each time. There's no emphasis on any one of us individually, but as a collective, we bring all these different perspectives, and that's why we're doing this together. And we love the African proverb, if you want to go somewhere quickly, go alone. If you want to go far, go together. And we're definitely doing that. And by the way, that's one of our values, but not today's. Today's value that we're talking about is growth. We will talk about together in a couple episodes from now, but growth and how important, I guess it's not even just important. I mean, it is, but also it's just part of life and how much I think we overlook it. I think everything is learning is how we define growth. All of life is learning. That's what I believe. And I believe all of us believe in this podcast today. And we just kind of want to break that down. Yeah, what does that mean? You know, because sometimes we look at these big things, big milestones in our life that are growth, and they are, right? They're growing moments. But then what about all the small things that happen either over time or in a moment that also is growth? You know, even just bumping into someone that you never talk to again, and one moment that leaves a lasting impression in our mind. You know, like this one time I'll just say as an example, I was working on one of my movie sets. We were producing a feature film. Oh, no. This is the TV show. So I was doing an episodic show that we sold to MTV. And that I was working my tail off, like tons of hours. So this is before my changing into the More Business, More Life philosophy. And I remember we were on the water. We were on this waterway shooting one of the episodes. And I went out on this dock that was going off of the house that we were filming in. And I think the person was thinking maybe that I was going to jump in the water late at night or something. They were worried about me, and they're in a little paddle boat, and they're like around the docks or whatever. And it was this guy and this gal. And I think they're just having a moment together, and they saw me, and then they said, "Hey, are you okay?" I must've looked a little drowsy, which I was. I probably had worked like a 20-hour day or something. And then the person said, "Are you okay?" And I said, "No, this is, I'm doing fine. I'm just really, really tired. I just finished shooting, and I've got to start early in the morning. And I'm working like crazy." And it was this French guy. And he said, and I never met him ever again, never saw him, didn't know his name, don't know his name now. If you're listening, then just message me, let me know. But it made a lasting impression on my life because the person said, he said, well, you got to be careful overworking. And I said, well, I'm working really hard. And this is the end of my 20s, I believe. And I said, I'm working really hard now in my 20s so that I can party in style later in life. And then he said, there are things you'll do in your 20s that you will not do in your 30s. There's things you'll do in your 30s that you will not do in your 40s. There's things you'll do in your 40s that you will not do in your 50s, and so forth, so on. Every decade of our life, we change as human beings. And there are some things that we miss at a younger age if we work too hard that, you know, we won't even be up for. Our body might not be up for it anymore, and we might not mentally want to do it. Like, there might be some things that we were curious or thought were fun that, you know, I wouldn't do. And so I was like, wow, that's so true. And that made a lasting impression into my 30s and 40s that it changed my perspective and said, well, I better live now. So that's just like a little growth moment just to kick this off, that it's a random conversation with someone that was probably less than 5 minutes, and the guy paddled off, and I never, ever, ever spoke to him again. Never was actually formally introduced. And I won't forget that moment. I guess since we went there, I never know where we're going to go with these, with our podcast, but they always, what's that?
That's the fun of it.
Yeah, right. We just have fun with this. But I guess maybe a question to pop off for all of us is, you know, what's a little growth moment? Maybe it felt little, but it made something gigantic. Like, that made a gigantic impression on my mind, but it was such a small moment in our life. I don't know if there's something like that has made an impression on your mind that just felt like it just passed by the wind, but it was actually significant. Does anybody else have one of those types of moments?
I kind of have one. It's actually like the starting of my whole like personal development journey, if you will. It's a secret. I first saw the book in like Barnes and Noble or something like that, and I was like, oh, this is interesting. And like, just randomly, right, out of all like the books, just walking around, I'm like looking at something, it's like it caught my eye, and I like started reading it, and that's like, that was about it. I just like read up like a couple pages, like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And then like the movie came out like maybe shortly after that, and I found that, and like kind of like your story, Steve, when you read Think and Grow Rich, right? Like, you have choice, you can create your life, you can choose things. That's kind of like was the epiphany for me. Is like, oh my gosh, I've been creating everything in my life up to this point, right? And after seeing that movie, is like, oh man, yeah, like I really liked it, because before, I think I could have had a victim mentality. Like, why is this always happening? Why does this happen to me? Or can I never go the way I wanted to go, or whatnot? And now it's like, after seeing that a bunch of other stuff, working with you, other coaches and stuff like that, it's like, okay, whatever it is. And I try to not see things as negative anymore. It's just like they are, not put a label on it, right? So as soon as you put a label on it, that's what it is, you know, quote unquote. So trying to not to see things as good or bad or positive or negative. But from like that kind of point on, I kind of started seeing that I was the creator of the life that I was living. And I guess that'd be a huge growth moment, right? Like, once that started going. And I remember telling you the story of going snowboarding one year, had my snowboard up on the rack, and never in my life had it ever fallen off, or did I ever have a thought of it falling off. But for some reason that day felt like it was going to fly off. Got up to the mountain, totally fine. On the way home, I was on the freeway. My board decided to take an exit, and just flew off, literally just slid off the exit. And, thankfully there was a ramp going onto the on ramp. And so I was able to pull over and like run down on the freeway to go pick it up, as like somebody was like, some truck was coming in to pick it up. I'm like, that's my board. I'm like, yep, that's my board. But it was crazy. Like, I had that feeling from the beginning of the day though, that like my board's going to fly off, and whether I manifested it or I was looking into the future, right, kind of a thing. But either way, it happened, because I kept thinking about it. And like, that was a really pivotal moment. It was like, oh yeah, you're, whatever you're thinking about, you're creating. Like, so going from there, and it's ever since then, it's been a journey of, okay, how do I get my mind right so that I'm thinking in the ways that I want to think, and honestly, that's like a huge growth too, like going through NLP, meeting you, going through NLP Marin. And it's a constant thing for me, constantly growing. Like as I'm like almost turning 40, I'm like starting to see like these things that were never there before for me. And it's like, oh my gosh, like certain like thoughts as you're getting older, I have a child now, and like just things are changing. And like, oh my gosh, like I'm constantly hitting new barriers and new things. And like, okay, how am I going to get past this one and grow into it? So that's a constant thing, but that was the first kind of epiphany, if you will, with growth.
That's huge. And I think it is discerning between what's intuition and what is manifestation. And those lines are drawn, or, you know, it's a thin line. And I've found that too, as I've become more aware, which one is it? Sometimes we'll never know, but if it's so strong inside you, like what's, you know, then now it's like, okay, maybe I just sort of stop, check the board, and then you just proceed on rather than just like dwelling on it. But I do think the dominant mind, the dominant thought in our mind becomes. So whatever it is. So it could very well be a manifestation as well.
Yeah, it's interesting. The first thing that popped into my head when you asked that question, which is interesting to me because my father passed away now, gosh, I think it'll be 16 years ago this year. And he was such a powerful influence in my life when it comes to my own personal development, professional development. He was kind of always the thought I was chasing in terms of going into business. And, you know, he was an entrepreneur. He kind of, you know, he had all these facets to him that I realized over time, all of these different layers. And there's one specific moment that made such an impression on me. And I remember watching Roots when I think I was in like the sixth grade, if I remember correctly, when it came out. And I remember him, you know, sitting down, watching, you know, and I think it was episodic. So there were, you know, multiple days. I don't remember which day it was, but I just remember being so angry after watching it. And I remember asking him, what do you do with all this anger? Because my dad was the most calm man you have ever met. You know, I think the probably the worst curse word I've ever heard him say was somebody's a jerk for cutting him off or something. And I just remember him taking that and saying, how do you, you know, I remember asking the question, how do you get rid of all the anger? And him saying the anger doesn't serve. So you have to get past the anger so you can direct your energy in a way that is helpful. And that made such an impression on me because I think as I look at the impact of our lives, you do want to be sitting at the table. And while the emotion is real, you have to be able to get to somewhere else in order to have your impact be significant. And so that was the thing that came to my mind was that less than 5 minute conversation with my dad about redirecting your anger into energy for the good. And that has been something that has stuck with me for my entire life. Every day I think about it.
It's so amazing how few words can make such a great impact. And thank you for that too, because being a father myself, sometimes we look at the quantity of time that we spend with our kids as being so important, but sometimes it's just those little moments of truth that will be the lasting memories forever. So I took a lot of layers away from what you just said, Melissa, just, you know, as a father, and then also someone that wants to see change in the world. And I think you're right. And he was right by saying that, you know, that you transform that energy into something that's more useful and less confrontational. Because a lot of times when we get into the arguments or we use that anger, then it gets combated with more anger or more defense. And then we just start fighting for something, fighting, you know. And I often say, let's not fight for anything. Let's just, you know, that's where you go back to Gandhi, like be the change you want to see in the world. And that's a hard one. I'm still learning that one. That's hard to like digest. And even what you're saying was it's hard to digest, like letting go of the anger, it, you know, really is. It's not like an easy thing, like you snap your fingers, but it makes sense. And it's something to strive for every day, like so that we can be more useful and constructive and actually have more change than fighting. Yeah.
We should institute that.
In more than one place. I mean, I keep coming back to the poem. I mean, it's said in so many spiritual texts. I mean, so many places. I mean, it's even in Star Wars, you know, anger leads to the dark side. And if you look at people that go get bad guys, there's a lot of movies and books about that too. You almost become the bad guy to catch the bad guy. Have you seen that? Where like the person that's actually apprehending and being the good guy becomes very dark in order to do what they do to... It's very interesting concept, right? Because then you kind of lose yourself in this battle. And so my favorite poem is from Rumi, a Persian philosopher, spiritual leader, poet, whatever you want to. There's so many labels. But the poem is, there's a garden beyond wrong and right. I'll meet you there. Such a short poem. He's got some really long, epic poems. And then that's the one that sticks in my mind. So it goes back to like your father, Melissa. It's like those little bit of words that are the ones that last forever in our mind, but they're so powerful.
Yeah. So that actually brings up something though. You think about it. Cause then like the core, for me, the core of it is that, that poem is a ego and self, right? Like beyond right and wrong. Like you what was the main part of it is, so there's a garden beyond, what was it?
There's a garden beyond wrong and right. I'll meet you there.
So, yeah. So like needing to be right. That's like all ego, right? And like being wrong and stuff like that. So that's like a question there for you. Like, yeah, how do we let go of the ego? Because that's probably the biggest thing for a lot of issues and challenges in our life is ego, right? Is letting go of that inner voice saying, well, no, like I am right. Like kind of stick your ground, right? And stay with it. And then like whatever emotions and stuff come up for that, or needing somebody to be wrong in order for you to feel better or something like that, or whatever the scenario is, but like letting go of that ego, like that's, I think is a huge part of growth is to let that, I don't know, fall away or something like that, release it.
In spiritual texts, and this is in more than one, division of spiritual writing, you know, from different countries of origin and different parts of the world. But I think it comes up more than once that ego is the attachment of spirit to the body is one way that it's put that I've heard it. And so when we actually, meditate or pray and we come closer to our soul, that's the reflection of God or all things, all the energy in the world, you become closest to that. And I think Wayne Dyer said it, or he might've been quoting someone else, I'm not sure, but it's that saying that, you know, many humans are trying to live a spiritual life or strive to a spiritual life, when the reality is we're spiritual beings living a human experience, you know, you know, I used to say, and we're talking about growth here, I'm going to continue to learn until I die. And now I think, you know, that's not true. Like when I die, I'll probably learn more than ever, right? Because it's going to like take all of the ego in your way, Giovanni, that I'm like pressing myself against. And when I can let that go, I can open up to even more learning. And then touching on the wrong or right, this is where we have so much conflict. I mean, there's news organizations that are in business to fight another news organization. There's political parties that are in, quote unquote, in business or doing so that they can be against this other political party. And it's like you or me, blue or red, and da 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 da. And it's like back and forth. And, you know, really, you know, letting go of those things and just seeing that we're all humans just trying to feed our family. And above that, some comforts in life, you know, but ultimately, if you really think about it, I always kind of, you know, make a joke, but not joking. We're all just trying to go to the river and have a picnic. And then we're doing all these other activities, working our tail off, making like millions of dollars in investments and all these things. And that might be your thing. And that's all great. And I'm not against money. I think money is a tool. Money's like a hammer. A hammer can build a house or it can hurt someone. Money is the same. Money can hurt people and it can also provide a lot of things. So there's no bashing on money here. It's just a tool. But ultimately, what are all these tools for? So that we can live a good life. And a lot of times with our friends and family, because we're humans, let's face it, humans are about belonging, which has also caused a lot of conflict in the last couple of years because we've had even more segregation here. You know, it's crazy. We talk, you know, we're trying to unite, but then I've seen a lot more separation. We've even had quarantining going on because of health things in the world. I mean, a lot of things that separate when ultimately humans want to belong. I mean, one of the hardest things to recover is solitary confinement. That's one of the hardest things a human can recover from. And then here we are causing a lot of that. And when we create division, wrong and right, we start isolating and then saying we're not belonging in what? This human family. It's a human family. We are of Earth. It's a human family. And so you touch on a lot for me, Giovanni, and I'm just scratching the surface of this idea and concept, but ultimately this is a big growth moment that you're bringing up, because we get so attached to wrong and right or to ourselves, and we spend a lot of time, so in a way losing life, arguing about things. And so that's what's so beautiful about the Rumi poem. It's like, how much of your life are you willing to give up fighting when you could go to the garden?
If we could get past right or wrong, just imagine what life would be like, just being able, and I feel it when we talk about, you know, specific, when we have specific questions where we're trying to, it's not just about, you know, is it this way or that way? Because humans are so complex. A lot of times you can't, it's hard to make a decision in some cases because of all the effects and ripples that are either already in place or that it will trigger. And so sometimes it becomes really difficult to say, you know, like, what is the right thing to do? Right and wrong. I mean, there's not always black and white. There's gray and brown and all sorts of other colors, you know? And I think sometimes we get so caught up. That's why that poem is so interesting, because I mean, it's very few words and yet it has so many layers to it in terms of, you know, whether it's ego or thought or content or emotion, you know, it's just, let's go to, you know, that garden of just being able to communicate and help each other and understand each other and acknowledge each other. You know, we do want to belong.
So let's pause real quick and take a break, and we'll be right back. I just want to have an expression of gratitude right now for Pro Audio Voices. They're the ones that produce my podcast. And Becky and her team are amazing. And for those of you that know me, I'm all about wow clients, wow partners. And Pro Audio Voices is a wow partner for me. And if you want to learn more, you can go to proaudiovoices.com and you can learn about them. They also do audiobooks and they're just amazing people. Thank you, Becky.
Can I jump on that point? The same, what you and Melissa and UNC were talking about. There's a really good comic. It's just like a one frame comic, and it's two people standing facing each other, and on the floor in front of them is a 6 or a 9, depending on which person you are. You're seeing it, and which one's right. Like one's saying it's a 6, one's saying it's a 9. One's like, from coming from their perspectives, they're both right. Right. And so how do you say who's right or wrong in like that kind of a thing? It's coming. It's like letting go of that. Yeah. It's like the perspective of it. Cause like,
yeah.
Cause really each one of our realities, our perspectives is correct for us. Right. We could look at the same exact painting, like for whatever reason, Mona Lisa came to mind. We could look at the exact same painting, but we're having a different experience and a different reality of it. And you could be like, I'd be like, oh my gosh, do you see those fine little details, you know, that he painted? And maybe Steve's like, no, like it's kind of like more whatever. And like, no, but like we're looking at the same exact thing, but we have our different experiences and growth that we've had throughout our lives to have them projecting our experiences onto that one painting specifically. So you can't say who's right or wrong. And like, even when you get down into it, like I said, it's like not black or white, there's brown in between. Cause a lot of times we think there's, you know, I don't know if I should take this here, but like, and I'll leave this open for you guys, but like what came to mind kind of when you said that was like things about death and how we think certain things are right or wrong. Like you think, okay, like, or murder, like it's like, there's a different clear right or wrong kind of a thing. And maybe in certain cases there are, but sometimes like when you kind of get into war, like you might say, well, this side's kind of protecting themselves from this other aggressor. Well, why is this other person aggressive? Because of like all this, like, and it is very complex, right? And it's like, even with stuff like that, how do you say who's right or wrong in scenarios like that? And again, I know you can definitely, there are certain ones where you can say, no, that's definitely, you should not be doing that. And I can agree with that. But in there are cases where it's like, well, how can you tell the difference? Or how do you put it out there like that kind of a thing?
Well, yeah. And you're even saying when is it murder and when is it not? Because how many crusades and wars have been said? And then they're like, oh, that's not murder. Yeah. You know, we were just protecting our country, or were you? And, you know, can get into a whole bunch of things with that. You definitely are onto something there, because, you know, where is it? I was even reading The Diamond Cutter, which is a Buddhist perspective of business in the diamond industry. But it also just brought up lots of generality things, too, like how one group of people could buy a building in New York and it would be a great decision and it helped their business. And then the same building, same price, another business could buy it. And then it could be the downfall of them and they never could get out from under the building. And it was the wrong decision, right? So who's to say? And it could be any time. They brought up so many for instances. It's like, it doesn't matter about the economy or this. One person could do it and one person can't. And it's like, well, which one's right? And it's like, there is nothing. And so in that book I learned in Buddhism, that's why they call it openness or emptiness. Emptiness is what it is. Empty. Everything's empty. You can create your own conclusions. That's, you know, like there are, you know, this is super open to it. And these are like, why? I mean, I never thought here we'd be on this podcast about growth and then we'd be thinking about these big philosophies. But the reality is this is like transcending to a higher level of growth. And it could be like a smaller moment or a bigger moment. And it could be something ugly. It could be something fun. But you know what? Life is learning. So bring it back to the thread of the whole thing. This conversation is on point because these are all learning. Every one of these things is learning, and it's all part of our life. And ultimately, we're going to a really high level of thinking here because we're trying to decide where to spend our time. Like if going back to even death that you're bringing, Giovanni, and you weren't bringing it up in this manner because we were talking about murder and when is it right or wrong, but also like this is a short life that we live in this body and this time. And what are we going to do with it? Are we going to spend it, going back to what Melissa's saying, are we going to spend it being angry? Or are we actually going to see the lessons? And this goes back to gratitude, our last podcast, that we need to be grateful for all results. So yes, someone does something quote unquote wrong to us. What gain do we have from that? You know, I was once buying a house and then I couldn't buy the house because the person had a lien on the house. And then I could be so pissed off. And, you know, I wasn't saying that I was at zero upset because I had all these plans and then all of a sudden the last minute it fell through. But then I got another house and the neighbors I was meant to be with to know. And there's a chance maybe I would have met them years later or not, but I was meant not to have that other house. So, and you could say I was wrong because the person there was, you know, a lack of direct honesty in the transaction. All of a sudden, there's a reason you can't do this or that. And now we have to make new decisions. And I could be really angry to Melissa's point, or I could say, you know what? Okay. And I look at it this way, and maybe this is not, everyone can't see it this way yet, but this is where a lot of growth has happened in my life. I look at it as the universal truth and guidance that this is bringing me where I'm supposed to go. Even Guillain-Barré, which we've been mentioning on this podcast, that I was paralyzed. What a tremendous amount of growth. And that's why I've said on other recordings, and I think on the podcast, that if I could go back 19 months ago and wave a magic wand and say, you're not going to have Guillain-Barré, I would not do it. Knowing what I know now today, I would not do it because of all the growth that I've had. It's guiding my life. So whether it's good, bad, or ugly, whatever happens to us in our life, it's all learning. And in fact, I would say, and I love the line, life doesn't happen to us, it happens for us. So it, and then that, in that, we're definitely treading on that water of letting go of right or wrong. You know, like, was it wrong that I got Guillain-Barré? Was it wrong that I didn't get that house? Somebody could say that. Someone could write that story. We could all write our own book. So I guess what we're saying is, what do you choose? Going back to choice, Giovanni brought that up about, you know, The Secret and such. It's all choice. What are we going to let our mind dwell on? Are we going to learn from it, or are we going to be pissed off at it? And I think when we get pissed off at it, we stop our growth. We stop our learning because we're just like dwelling in it. It's like, you know, in a way, it's our adult tantrums, right? Instead of, we don't like, maybe we don't drop on the floor and kick and scream. Some days it might feel good to do that, you know, but we don't allow ourselves to try that on anymore these days. And here we are, grumpy old men and women, and we're having like a, you know, we're having an adult tantrum.
I definitely think that is there. Sorry, Stephanie, go for it.
No, it's okay. I've seen it. I think how that might manifest in different ways. It might not be someone physically laying on the floor and having a tantrum the way our children do in the cereal aisle and they don't get the Fruity Pebbles that they want, but I think people do it in other ways. Sorry, go ahead, Giovanni.
No, I was going to say the same exact, like very similar. It's like, yeah, you see it with, I mean, there's like, we've, as a society, we started calling them, well, in the West, in the US anyway, calling them Karens and Kens and, right, like the people who record like throwing tantrums because they didn't get what they wanted or it wasn't going their way. Like, so like, yeah, adults definitely still mm-hmm. have those moments. Yeah. But like you said, right before, Steve, we're just a collection of ages, right? You're still that 3-year-old, 4-year-old self. And if you weren't able to get past that, then, you know, if you don't get something your way, then you can have that tantrum. But there's hope because you can grow out of that and you can grow beyond that and you can let that go and everything. Something came to mind, maybe this is a kind of diverting the conversation a little bit, but and apparently I have a lot to say today about growth. But what came to mind, I just finished watching what was it? The Fantastic Fungi on Netflix. Have you guys seen that one? It's by Paul Stamets, who's like a mushroom enthusiast. They have a name for it. I can't remember how it's called. But he's just talking about how mushrooms, and like, it's just interesting because like I've started seeing, like I saw that, and then I saw How to Change Your Mind by who's the guy that wrote the book, Steve?
Michael Pollan.
There's a Netflix docuseries on that as well, which is fascinating because it's interesting to see how we're getting back to like the ancients knowing how plants like helped us. Like we're kind of growing back to that, right? Like at some point in time, whether it was relatively recent happenings of like specifically here, our government making certain things as like the war on drugs, classifying plants, certain plants and like mushrooms and other things as harmful substances. But like, as we're coming through and these, what both of these documentaries showed is that like mushrooms and anything like psilocybin and things like that actually have tremendous health benefits for people. Like, especially like people with PTSD, other anxieties and things of that nature. And before the 60s, there was like a whole period of where scientists and like psychologists were able to actually study using these, and they had like 20 or 30 years of actual data showing how like beneficial it was. And then the war on drugs came in and like almost overnight just wiped out all that stuff. And like now we're slowly starting to get back more into like learning again, growing from that stuff. I just thought it was fascinating. For some reason, that popped in my head that like growth can sometimes even mean going back from when you already knew to kind of coming back to now, if that makes sense.
Yeah. It's almost saying remembering. Yeah. That's something that comes up in a lot of books. It's like we're remembering how to be. Straight out of Michael Pollan's book and psychology, in the brain, it's called the default mode network. So I have read the book, and you might have saw me if you're watching the video. I'm looking back here trying to find the book. It's somewhere on this shelf, but yeah, that's when you know your bookshelf is big, when you can't find a book. But Michael Pollan brought it up loud and clear to me. The child's mind, so to add a little bit to what you're saying, Giovanni, the child's mind from 0 to 6 is like full open. You know how they always say we don't use all the parts of our brain? Well, now that we have brain scans, and so now things like from the 60s and such that you're talking about, Giovanni, there's even more evidence about it because now we have even further the technology. But from 0 to 6, the brain is like wide open. And that's why kids sleep a lot, because the brain takes more energy than any other part of our body. It takes more blood, more fat, more of everything. It takes more calories. They even did a study on chess players. They didn't understand why, you know, people sitting around at tables were losing weight. They're burning like over 6,000 calories a day sitting there playing chess. It's more than a Super Bowl athlete in the Super Bowl. Crazy. But that was that the brain sucks out. And that's why kids are so tired, because they're like learning. Somewhere around the age of 6, the brain goes on what they call default mode network. It actually shuts part of the brain down to save energy. That's why you said, Melissa, that this human idea here we are is complex. The body itself is complex, and it's actually smart enough to save energy. So it actually shuts things off. So once you learn how to sit in a chair, you know, a long time, you know, once you get to like 6, it's like, oh, that's a chair. You automatically sit into it. If you're a driver and you drive a car and you go home, we've all had those moments where you're like, whoa, I don't remember driving home, but I'm here in my garage. You know, it's like, oh, wow, like that's probably not a good thing, but it happened. And because you're on default mode. So you actually navigated home quite fine, but the brain said, oh, I'm going to truncate all the energy given to this, and I'm not going to put as much energy to it because we already know how to do it. It puts on like auto drive, autopilot, whatever you want to call it. And so coming back to your point, to truncate this, you can go read the book, and it's got massive amounts of ideas. And there's more than one book, as you're pointing out, Giovanni, more studies are coming. But the mind on psychedelics is as close, it doesn't even say exact, but as close to a child's mind as possible. And the only thing else that comes close to it is a mind that is meditating. Meditation is very powerful, and it comes in like in a close third. So it's like the child's mind is number one, most open to learning, then the psychedelic mind, and then in meditation. And some people would say in meditation, and I'm not a complete scholar in this, that it can transcend. Even like Dr. Joe Dispenza said, the, you know, chemicals in mushrooms or other psychedelics open up some chambers of the brain, but not all of them. And that's why when you learn to meditate, you can actually open up the mind even more. But I find that everyone has their own way, right? Like, this is the thing, you know, like we try to say right or wrong, like, oh, drugs are wrong. But what if someone opens up their mind with psychedelics and they find love and they get over PTSD? And then they start to meditate and they don't even use psychedelics anymore, but they're opening their mind more and more. It's kind of like if you heard a song, like sometimes when we meditate, it's hard for many people to learn meditation because it's like the song is like on number on one. Like if all the volume of a song was from 1 to 10, you know, like you're meditating and the song is on 1 and you barely can hear it, and you're holding on trying to meditate and hear that song. Well, like with the psychedelics, it can put the music at 10 and you're like, whoa, there's the song, there it is. And then you can find yourself without that and find the song, you know, or it shows you the door, you know. So for some people, it opens doors. I didn't mean to do that, but even that's what Jim Morrison talked about with The Doors. They named their band The Doors of Perception based on these things. But so it actually can open the door, and then you can remember it when you're not having a hallucinated moment. And you can find this without. There are many people that have never touched any drugs like this, and they open their mind through meditation. So I think that, again, there's no wrong or right. There's only options, right? There's only choices. And who are we to say what's wrong or right to what you're talking about with these shows and these books, Giovanni? And people are realizing, wow, there's a lot of healing in this. This is my opinion. I'd rather see someone have some mushrooms, have a moment, have some healing than be on a pharmaceutical depression medicine for 10 or 20 years, you know, and maybe never heal. And again, not putting any wrong or right on it. What if, you know, it's so I think this brings a lot of layers to what you're talking, what you brought up, Giovanni. This is growth in what way? I think just I'm happy when I see people trying to grow. Like if you're reaching for healing and help, and we're all going to heal differently. Like someone's going to roll up in a paddle boat on a dock and talk to you, and you're going to get some healing like I did. or maybe something else harsher, like I also have had, where you're paralyzed. So I guess brings
food. Steve, what if you were just in a trance and that was just your spirit guide, just kayaking. The guy wasn't really there. Just
it's so possible.
Maybe it was you. Maybe it was you, like now manifesting yourself back then. You're your own guy.
You know, I have a moment on that that's so surreal. I don't know if this actually happened to me. So my junior prom, I'm going in. I went to film school in San Francisco. For college, but in my junior year in high school, I took a limo into San Francisco to have dinner with my date and a group of us. And I was sitting in the limo, and I remember I had made enough money to pay for the limo because my parents were like, "We're not getting a limo for you." And so, like, that was me already being entrepreneurial. I found enough money to get a limo because I wanted to try this thing out. Right? I thought, "Oh, that might be cool." So I even paid for it myself. It wasn't given to me. It was like a reward. So I was feeling really like confident in that. And I come in to the city and I'm turning onto New Montgomery, if anybody knows San Francisco, and the Academy of Art was right there, which I did not know at the time. And I'm coming around the corner and I have my window cracked. This is a nice night. And I'm looking, and then there's this like long-haired guy, scruffy, coming out of that building. And I was like looking at him and I had some judgment being really honest. I was like, wow, what a freak. Like it looked like it was like a weird looking dude, right? And I'm like looking. And I'm all dressed in my tuxedo for prom, feeling all proud that I paid for a limo. And I go to my dinner. Don't think anything of it. 2 years later, because that was my junior prom. Remember, 2 years later, I was starting college. Now I'm in college. Now I'm into like my second semester or whatever. So actually it's like 3 years later because I'm already like almost through the first year of film school. And guess who's scruffy looking and long haired? And coming out of a building on New Montgomery and a limo, not joking, everyone, a limo comes, and maybe this is my own delusion as well, Giovanni, but a limo comes, windows cracked. I make eye contact with some kid going to prom all in his tuxedo. I could totally tell it was like prom night. And then I was like, oh my gosh, I'm the freak now. I'm the one on the sidewalk. I was like, what is happening? I totally tripping out, and I was not eating mushrooms, I promise. I was like,
what's prom?
I promise, Melissa, I didn't touch it. I didn't touch it.
The evolution.
I promise. Unless someone drugged me.
Yeah.
Yes.
And, are you
and
sure?
I also learned something about myself about casting judgment because like it was so much growth. Here we are talking. This podcast, I just have to state, is like so different than I thought it was going to be talking about growth. But that was another massive growth moment, just a blink of the eye. And so maybe the paddle boat, thank you, Joanne. Maybe the paddle boat was in my own mind, and so was this limo. But they're lasting impressions on you never know, you could be the other person. So when you're so like there, I was casting judgment, and then there I am, that guy. And I've been both. I've been the dressed up tuxedo man in a limo. And I've also been the freaky looking, you know, grunge clothes got from the Salvation Army. Like, you know, because that's why I thought it looked cool. So I got all kinds of old weird clothes. Seriously, that was me. And I didn't cut my hair. And I was, you know, walking around San Francisco because I'm a filmmaker. I'm an artist now, you know, crazy.
I know the initial question that you asked was like, what was the thing, the little thing, like whether it was big or small that, you know, contributed to some growth. And I think the lessons come in, at least for me, and I know we've talked about this before too, like when you're ready to receive them. And so just that even awareness of looking back and seeing, oh my gosh, I like the roles being reversed or whatever it might be. It's, you just never know where you're going to be and who's going to be on the other side. And so I think that helps with, you know, not passing judgment, just really understanding that everybody is on their own path. Going back to what you said of just, we're trying to feed our families. We're doing the very best we can with what we have in that moment. That doesn't mean that a year ago, things weren't different, or a year from now, things aren't going to be different. But sometimes it's just all those little awarenesses like adding up into, okay, I've heard this before. I've heard it 10 times before, but I'm finally in the place where it makes sense for me to take that and implement it. And so I think there's growth in terms of, you know, study, learning, maybe it's textbooks. And I think that's what I thought growth and learning was for so long. Like, I think my growth path or journey started with Franklin Covey, like 7 Habits of Highly Successful People, and going through that whole training and learning how to plan your day and how to make goals and all of that. So I remember that very vividly, but it's also the action you take based off of what you learn, whether it's in a textbook or a book that you read, or based off of the experiences. And I think what I've seen more, and even kind of goes back to the conversation that we're having, is the true growth, like the real growth, comes from learning from the experiences that you do have. So I don't know, it's all very interesting. I love this conversation. Yeah.
Well, yeah, just go back to the statement, all of life is learning. And what you just said, it's like, yeah, that could be a definition of that phrase, but here we are, like it is, reading that textbook, taking that class with Stephen Covey, that's learning. Having experience is learning. All of life is learning. And that's what's so amazing, because if we actually believe that, then whatever happens, again, right or wrong, good or bad, ugly or beautiful, it's all learning. And when we take that in, life becomes easier and everything becomes a moment. That's why there's that other saying, this too shall pass. So you're having a great day, this too shall pass. It might not be great tomorrow. Or you're having a bad day, this too shall pass, because tomorrow could be better. And it's all learning, the good days, the bad days. That's why I don't even believe in no pain, no gain. No pain, no gain. That's like an absolute. You're talking like you're a Sith soldier in Star Wars or something, right? It's not that way. There's no absolute. Yeah, I'm on Star Wars today, right? George Lucas was thinking of some things.
So many life lessons. Yeah, it's true. Oh, I was going to say something, but it escaped me. But yes to all of that. I think it's a perception, like you said, good, bad, right, wrong. It's just what we perceive that to be, like what we perceive to be right. And then there's also, is it right for the world? But then is it also right for me? Is it right for our family? Like that whole concept of right is very, I guess, interchangeable depending on how you want to apply it. And I think was another big area of growth for me, was just learning that it's okay for me to have my feelings about what's right for me, and it just be about what's right for me or my family at that time, and like not really wanting to have to please others. And that's probably a whole nother tangent that we could go on about, you know, mental health and self-care and all of that. But
and it's all growth.
Yeah.
It's all growth.
It's all growth. Yeah.
It's all growth.
Well, and I think what's interesting is, you know, a lot of times when we think about growth, I always think about growth in that it often challenges you, right? It can take you out of your comfort zone, but it could just be that growth is different. You know, it may be that you feel lonely or it's challenging or awkward, but growth is also an amazing experience. Because you don't know, it's like you have no idea what's on the other side of that growth until you get there. And so that transition or transcension from, you know, one particular area of growth. It's kind of, it reminds me of like when you're in high school and you go to college, like you don't necessarily know what college teaches you until you get there. And then in many cases, you actually learn how to study and how to do lots of things in college that you didn't know how to do in high school. And then you go on to get your, you know, your bachelor's or your doctorate, you know, and it's like you're learning so many different things that you didn't even know you didn't know. So, you know, growth just can be so amazing when you look back at it, but when you're going through it, it can be very awkward, you know, like you don't know where you're going. But it's that guidance system that you referenced before. It's like, you know, like listen to where you're going. And, you know, we talk about, you know, joy and, you know, having to be that navigation, but it's an amazing way to grow if you actually receive it.
Yeah, and it doesn't have to be all pain. That's the point I was getting at. Listen, just piggybacking on what you're saying. Right. I often say life will tap you and then it'll slap you. And I think that goes back to our awareness. So that's where meditation is another tool that helps me slow down enough to see so that maybe I don't have to have extreme pain. Although sometimes we do, sometimes we ignore. And then boom, you're like, okay, well, it's time to learn. And I think we all have been touching on that. You know, there's another saying, the teacher will appear when the student is ready. The teacher will appear when the student is ready. So the teacher might be there the whole time. It's right there, but we let it go. We let it go. And I think if we become more self-aware, which is what we're also talking about today a little bit, then we don't have to endure so much pain. Don't wait for the slaps, you know? So, yeah.
I wanted to say one thing, kind of going to what Melissa was saying, what came to mind as soon as you like started talking about that was, trees without wind fall over, right? So there was there's like a greenhouse, I think it was in the UK, like there's this arboretum, however you pronounce it.
I think that was the one in Arizona. It's the biome. It's like outside of Tucson, but they put trees in there and they died. Yep.
Yeah. And there's like no wind. And then they would either die or like fall over because they didn't have that, they didn't grow with that resistance, like kind of pushing on them so that they can become resilient. Kind of a thing. And so that kind of just popped in my head as you were saying that, like, we need something to kind of help us kind of grow, right? We need that little push or nudge or whatever it is, slap, or hopefully you don't get to a slap or anything bigger than a slap, but sometimes we do. Sometimes you need that, right? You need that big awakening for a lot of people. If you're not, I think if you're not actively searching or developing yourself, like, you need those bigger pushes sometimes, like you need those bigger slaps, right? Because if you're actively doing stuff like that, and even when you're actively doing it, you still might need a big slap, right? I mean, we can look at Steve, we can take you, for example. You are very active in personal development and yet still had something that you might consider a slap, right? But yeah, it was something
it definitely was.
Yeah, right? So
yeah, it's, and even giving yourself permission, like at that time in my life, I wouldn't have taken a year sabbatical. I wouldn't have done it, but that's what I needed. And so like life made it happen. So
life happens for you.
Yeah.
Not to you. Yep.
Yeah.
And then one other thought, maybe we'll leave it on this, but it just kind of came in and I would like your finagling of it because it might not be full complete. But through time, life can change in an instant. For some reason, that came coming through. So I don't know if, anyway, that just kind of popped through and I wanted to say it before we end.
Yeah, through time, life can change in an instant.
Yeah, it's because like, I don't know, like what kind of came to mind, I think when Stephanie was talking, it's like whatever the experiences you're going through, there's like a certain point you have all those experiences. And then if those are the experiences you no longer want, like in that instant, like it seems like an instant, things shift for you. But it really wasn't that instant. It was all that time prior to it that led up to that instant moment of it. And so that just kind of came through, like I said, but man, I just wanted to say it. So
yeah, you know, it's like, it's so interesting how the learning happens. You know, there's a, the, you know, story of Pablo Picasso, and he was sitting at a cafe and someone came out and said, "Oh, Pablo Picasso, I love your work. I love your work." And then they see that he has a notepad on the table next to his espresso. And they say, "Oh, can I sit down with you?" And Pablo Picasso said, "Sure, sit down." And then they say, "Oh, I see you have a notepad there. Would you sketch me, please?" And Pablo Picasso says, "Sure." So he just looks at the person while he finishes his espresso. And then he picks up his notepad and then he sketches them, maybe spends 15, 20 minutes, and then shows them the picture. And they're like, "Oh my gosh, it's so amazing. I must have it. Can I have that? Can I buy that from you?" And then he says $10,000. And back then, like if you go into that time period, that would be like $100,000. And I'm not doing exact currency for those of you that are going to look it up, but it's somewhere in that kind of range of difference. And they say, "Oh my gosh, it was like 15 minutes. How could it be that much?" And he says, "That's where it's, we see things differently. You look at it as these 15 minutes, but actually it took me a lifetime to be able to draw this." So in all instances, to your point, Giovanni, it's like, it's a lifetime of learning to have this learning moment. Because even if every lesson is like, whatever lesson I'm going to learn today, it took all those decades to get to be me so that the teacher could appear at this moment when I'm finally ready. So, you know, what a great way to come to the end of this podcast with that saying, Giovanni, because you're exactly correct. It's in an instant, but it's like, it takes a whole lifetime to change. Powerful.
Okay.
I hope, and I'm speaking for all four of us, and if anybody wants to add anything before we wrap up, I hope that this sparks in you that life is learning and just take it as such. So when something happens that you didn't want to have happen, learn from it and make a new decision tomorrow. Don't dwell in it. Don't get angry. Like as Melissa brought up, but letting go of the anger, bring all that into your awareness so that you can live a good life and a life of learning. And it's allowed me to transcend being paralyzed. I could be in depression right now. And, you know, there's a lot of things that changed in my life. And instead of looking at them as bad things, I actually embrace them. And I'm really, really, really enjoying life right now.
Little visitor for us, for those of you that might be watching.
So cute.
Yeah, because with
a little head.
With your... And with your mic muted, you couldn't even see it, you know, or hear it. I mean, you wouldn't notice if you're listening to the podcast, but I appreciate all of you. And just having this podcast takes us to another level of learning in itself. So, I think for me, even this was growth right now, spending this hour with the three of you. I appreciate you so much.
Same. I agree.
We appreciate you. Yes. I love it. The only thing I was going to quite add, though, is sometimes we also should ask ourselves deeper questions about some of the things that are happening. Because I think that is also how we grow. And whether we're talking about, you know, I do a lot of diversity, equity, and inclusion work, but it's so amazing when you can experience things in a different way. Or, you know, Steve, as a filmmaker, has the ability to literally take a story and change the perspective of the people or who's in it or how it is and get something even more powerful in that story. It's just, it's amazing. So each of us are living our lives as, you know, the main character in our own life. And it's amazing when you actually take that and use it for growth, development, impact. It's amazing.
So beautifully said. And it comes back to, I think, what many of us are talking about today is self-awareness. So just allowing yourself, you know, one thing that I learned early on is just journaling. And that was one of the hardest things for me to start doing. And my mentor at the time said, just write the date and what the weather's like, and just write something until you get the habit. But it allows to get inside of our head and have some self-awareness, as you're bringing it up, Melissa. It's that word for me, I call self-awareness, then it allows me to learn in all the moments in my life instead of just letting pass by, which then speeds up my learning in some ways. So maybe just another little nugget to end the podcast on is just picking up and writing some things, because maybe it'll be a month from now, you'll read back what you were learning a month ago and be like, oh my gosh, I didn't know what that meant. Wow. Because you see things differently. Every day you'll make new decisions that you wouldn't have made yesterday because you have more awareness. And that's all growth. So our closing for this is life is learning, period. Every day is learning. And when you take that as a presupposition to everything we're doing, it makes everything not feel as bad when something crazy happens. So I hope that helps. And we're gonna keep this discussion going just because we're, you know, going to a new topic next week. They're all intertwined. But next week, we want to talk about freedom. What does it mean? And how can we have it without sacrifice? Because this will be a good one to talk about that no pain, no gain, that we think that all learning has to come through pain. And we do learn in the pain moments, but we also learn with a hug. We also learn with love. And we're going to talk about that. It's not all learning through sacrifice. And how can we have more of the freedom that we want in our life? And how can we drive to that consciousness? So we really, really, really appreciate all of you listening. And we love to hear feedback. We love to hear your comments, questions. We love to collaborate on social media across the different channels, wherever you are. And we also love to have you rate our podcast. You know, it's really helpful. You know, someone might be browsing, and if you got value from this podcast and you're listening to it, and then you put some comments about our podcast on here and you write a review, and someone might read that review and decide to listen to this, and maybe they'll get some learning from it. So you're not just helping us have more awareness of our podcast. You're helping our mission, which is to help as many people have the freedom they desire. So if we can help one more person learn, you're helping them. So we really appreciate, you know, 5-star ratings and reviews and all those things, not just to get our ego going, but also to help. Yes, we do like that when we know we're doing a good job and we can help other people. So please, please, please share and like and comment. We like all of those things. And we'd love to hear, lastly, anything else you'd like us to talk about. If there's something you're really curious about or a question that didn't get answered, please ask, because we would love to share that on future episodes. So again, filled with gratitude for being able to do this podcast with the three of you. Thank you, Giovanni, Melissa, and Stephanie, for being here with me. And until our next episode, remember to choose gratitude and create freedom. Thank you so much. Thanks for listening to the More Business, More Life podcast. I hope you got value. And if you did, we have so many more things for you at stevenopleton.com. You'll be able to connect with us on social media. We are active. You can ask us questions. And then on top of that, I want to give you a really big gift. And it truly is. We want to give so much value. We have an offering. It's a program called Clear Path to Customers. It's the same way that we attract wow clients and only working with the right people, the people we want to. And it's transformed my business into millions more in revenue with the right people and my clients. And we're doing it absolutely free. So you can go to stevenopleton.com and grab that. You just got to put in your information. We'll send it to you promptly. And that again is on stevenopleton.com. I look forward to having you on the next show. Until then, remember, choose gratitude and create freedom.
This podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.